This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the F-Boy Island coverage here on the Hot Dummies on Islands podcast feed. Today, we'll be talking about F-Boy Island Season 3, Episode 10, the finale. We did it. We made it. We're here. And I am Kirsten McInnes, joined, as always, by the great Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
Kirsten, it has been a journey, and this week has been a journey, and I'm just relieved we've made it out alive. We're here back together again.
Yes.
To close this chapter of F-Boy Island season three. Apologies in advance for my recovering from COVID voice. We're getting there. But I'm just glad to be upright and alive and be able to talk to you. This is like a little sense of normalcy for me right now. And I've been needing it. But I'm good.
Yeah, I knew Jenny wasn't feeling great. And so I texted her earlier this week and I was like, just let me know when you're feeling better. Like, we love the podcast and we love making it, but like, obviously it's not a priority when one of us is deathly ill. So sorry if people are, you know, upset about the delay, but we're people. We're only humans. There's only so much we can do.
I have pushed myself in a lot of other scenarios. This was beyond the ability to push. Let me tell you, you would not have wanted the podcast that you would have gotten if I tried to do this 3, 4, 5 days ago. Nobody needed that.
That's okay.
It would have just been Kirsten talking and probably me just groaning
I need you on these pods. I can't just be monologuing, so I'm glad that we were able to wait. We're up to 354 ratings on Apple Podcasts. Nice. On the Hot Dummies feed. It would be so cool if we could get to like 360, you know.
I was gonna say, no, good. Although are we feeling a little bit triggered by the 360 number right now? I don't know.
Is the number 360 triggering? It is. There's a lot of uncertainty out in the world right now, and it's hard. But
it is a nice rounded number.
Like horrible. So maybe 365, you know?
Yeah, that's how many days are in a year.
In a leap year, how many days
are in a year, right? So, right?
I don't think, sure is it?
Yeah, because we have a February 29th.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. In 2024.
That's next year?
Mm-hmm.
I guess, 32 is a multiple of, because I was born in a leap year.
Oh, okay.
And so it's always like my age is by 4.
I was like, what is the math you're doing on your finger?
And I was in my brain like, oh yeah, I guess I'll be 32 next year. And that is in fact a multiple of 4. So, yep. Okay.
I was like, I don't understand what the math is that you're doing right now, but I respect it. How I know it's a leap year is if my birthday skips a day from where it was the year before, and if February has 29 days in it.
Yeah, so February is the main indicator.
That's the most helpful part is the February part.
Next year, there will be 366. 6? Oh, wait, no, there's 365 normally. And I tried to tell you there's 364. You know what? This is not a math or calendar podcast. And yeah. So I'm really sorry.
I don't think any, listen, it's been long discussed that I don't think most of the men on this show can count. They need simple things like 100K or 50K. Like, that's all we know. So this is not a math podcast, but
no, I've aged out of math and apparently looking at a calendar.
But with that said, in a normal year, and I would love some normalcy in my life, 365. So if we could get to 365 reviews, that sounds pretty cute to me.
And honestly, listen, I'm feeling pretty dumb right now. So if you wanted to put in your 5-star review, like, a moment when you felt kind of dumb, that might be fun. A moment when you were a hot dummy on an island.
I could personally make many throwaway accounts just to use all of the examples that I have. But listen, I want to hear from other people. Please make me feel better about my life. Yes. And then let me know that we are not alone.
And like, you know, you're home for the holidays. Maybe you use like your mom or dad's phone to leave a 5-star. Like, it's attainable. So
that's a good point.
Just, you know, it is what it is. We did get 1 5-star review from Warwickry. They say it is kind of Love Island related, but Love Island's not coming back for a while. That's so they say, Islanders, I got a text. Thank you for recapping these shows. My friends don't watch them, so I love listening to y'all. So thank you so much. And if you want to be
a great thing when you want like someone, you just want to have discourse about a show and you don't have friends to talk about it with because no one you know watches it.
Exactly.
When you find a podcast that it's like hanging out with friends, you know.
Love and that. Also, shout out to our Chilean listeners because we're currently in the number 5.
Oh, TV hell yeah. In Chile. Oh my gosh.
So random.
Chile.
Yes,
wow.
Literally. Okay, so we should get into this. So another season of FY Island is done, possibly the last.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe not. I hope not because I like talking to you and because the show is fun.
The show has so much going for it. I know no one likes a podcast that is complaining about the show they watched or whatever. And I'm not even really going to complain about this show because I still do really like it.
Yes.
However, during, you know, my sickness, I did manage to binge the second half of season 2 that I hadn't gotten to. But I did say I wanted to make sure that I finished it before I got to this finale because I wanted to be able to compare and contrast the finales. And I will say after binging a few episodes of season 2 in a row, it became very evident to me the flavor that was missing in this season, how watered down it got from being on the CW and being on like a more of a primetime network. And obviously, like, you know, it's hard to top the drama of the second season's finale, which I will say like wasn't as shocking to me because I knew enough about.
Yeah, like something was coming. Yeah,
like I you know. But it was still like a pretty good finale of television. It's hard to top that, but like I just felt like it made it so much more obvious after watching that. So like right now to see what things are like we lost the nice guy Grotto and the Limbro, which you know ultimately wasn't necessary to the narrative.
No, but they're fun.
It's like, yeah. So I'm conflicted because I don't want the show to die, but I feel like it could have been better. And I don't know. And I also still feel like it could be better without having to go back to like a streaming platform where it can be a little bit more like 18 plus or whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is, but I especially this finale, it was fine finale. but really no big fireworks. Like we had in the season one and season two finale, there were some pretty big moments.
Yes.
And I just feel like those are hard to top with what we got in this finale. Yes. But so I left feeling satisfied.
So should we get into it?
Yes.
And I also want to say once again, the Upmore Island Instagram account spoiled this.
Yes, they did.
They posted a reel before it had aired in Canada. And it was of Vince giving his like final plea and how long it was, which like, yes, that was funny. But why the fuck are they flipping cuts to Danielle sitting there?
Oh, Daniela with Christian.
With Christian and Hallie with Mercedes sitting together. Why? Why not just share the Vince part? Why do you have to show?
Cut it down. This is what they've been doing all season is they're like, they give no fuck. They're like, let's spoil our own show. And also, even if that was after it aired on the Friday in the US, apparently what I was doing a little bit of Insta stalking before we started recording because I wanted a little bit of an update on like what's going on with these couples. And I found out from creeping on Katie's Instagram that even though the episodes were airing on Fridays in the US and then Canada on Monday, the episodes weren't even showing up on this like CW online or something like that until closer to Monday, I think.
Oh,
so
goodness.
So she even, which was so funny because I guess she unintentionally spoiled people as well because she had done a post before, like even people in the US had seen the episode that couldn't see it live because they didn't have access to see it. So like,
well, that's ironic given how much shit she was talking about.
Exactly.
The last
that's
trailer.
Why I was like, it's so funny. But it like, it makes no sense. The show started off, it was on Mondays in both countries. Yeah. Everyone's on the same page. I don't know why at some point they decided to change it to Friday in the US and keep it on Monday here. And then they were just spoiling it even before the Friday airings of things. Like there was no rhyme or reason to what they were trying to do. I just truly think that they just didn't care about this. And I mostly just hope that if it doesn't carry on with the CW, if they clearly don't give a shit about it, it's such a good concept. And Nikki is one of the best reality TV hosts to ask for. Don't waste this. Like Netflix, do you want to pick this bitch up? Like, let's do something here. I don't care. Well, I mean, not Nikki the bitch. The bitch is the product.
I know. Like Bravo, pick it up.
Sure.
Like,
somebody.
Someone
please.
Take it. Like this show is great and it deserves a home.
Yeah. And also maybe a different network will know how to not spoil its own show. It doesn't shock me.
The bar is in hell. Literally.
I by no fault of the show, I was at least spoiled going into watching it. Obviously, I watched it late. I've been sick, but I was spoiled going into it on who Katie picks, which is unfortunate because they left her for last. So it was like the thing that was supposed to be the biggest like surprise was the thing I knew about because I forgot that I followed Vince on Instagram. And so I was trying so hard. I was trying, like, I'm not letting these MFers spoil me this time. So I muted the F4 Island account on Instagram. And then immediately the first Instagram, you know how you have like your Instagram story, it shows certain people. And sometimes I just click and I just go
through. You're not looking at who it is. You're like, let's just go through my stories.
Immediately it puts Vince first, which I had never looked at his Instagram story in my life. And I just unknowingly like clicked it first and I immediately was spoiled. I was like, I had just muted.
No.
I had just muted the FBoy Island account. I was like, well, so much for that.
And what was his post?
I don't even remember. It was something about like, congratulations. Vince, like, what are you doing with the 50K or something like that?
Ew.
So it was like very obvious that he got picked. I was like, okay, well, So that it's fine though. Like, I really don't think that I didn't necessarily think that Katie was ever going to pick Benedict.
You know, like, she was just too upset about,
she couldn't put the toothpaste back in the tube.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. I do think it would have been fun if Katie had been the F girl on this season.
Oh, yeah. And why should we talk? I know we don't want to talk too much about season two, but like,
the concept of having one of the three be like an quote F girl and have the opportunity to take the money is so good. I think they should always do that. Like, put these men on their toes.
Yeah. Put some fear in them, you know, that it's not just about like, you know, convincing them to pick you and then all the power's in your hands. Like, you need to have a little bit of fear that like you didn't do a good enough job and they're just going to like clown you. And maybe if they always know that only one of them is like possibly like there's no situation where all three of them are F girl and they take the money so that it's not just like, because then I think it's like if no one trusts anyone's like intentions, then it's going to get too messy.
You need to figure out, and maybe even at the end when all of the men reveal their roles and the women also reveal theirs, and then you might be one of the final two men and you're like, oh no, like maybe she's gonna take, like, is she or is she not? Like, I feel like that would add a fun layer.
There needs to be a little bit more of like intrigue in the finale. And I felt like with this one, missing the, like, there's a secret third option like that we got on season two. I felt like that could have added some fun to this.
Because I agree.
But back to Katie. I will say we're all over the place here. It's okay. My brain is broken, so I apologize. But
that's what people come here for.
I feel like Katie had a good connection with Vince. Mm-hmm. Had some things she didn't love about the relationship. And then she saw things that she was maybe not getting from Vince with Benedict. Yeah. And I truly think that she was like, can I have both? I don't think that that's what she wants, but like, I do feel like she was conflicted in her decision, but also was so focused on not getting clowned that the risk wasn't worth it to her. And she did, you know, I believe that she did have feelings for Vince, but I also believe that she saw that it wasn't going to work. Like, she had a feeling that it wouldn't end up lasting in the real world based on the fact that she even says this in the episode where she's like, the fact that I still can feel this way about Benedict worries me about how my relationship strength with Vince in the real world.
Yeah, that is very true. I also just think, I don't know. I think that the stuff that was said at the mansplain about Vince being kind of clout chasey and how much he's talking about the events and all that stuff, I think that that did get to Katie a lot. And then if you look on Vince's Instagram, look at him. It's him posting, hanging out with all the Fire Island people outside of the island. And
yeah,
it's not giving like, oh, I'm a lawyer, I don't need clout is the vibe I'm getting. Like, I also think two reality shows in 2 years is also not giving, I'm a lawyer, I don't need clout. Like, what kind of lawyer has the time for this? Shouldn't he be getting those billable hours?
I mean, you know, he's a part-time lawyer, full-time clout chaser, you know? Like, I don't know. He maybe changed his work setup. But like, I believe that Vince truly did like Katie, and I believe that Katie did like Vince, but I also believe that they would be okay if it didn't work out, and clearly they are, like,
yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I also felt like having the context of seeing season two play out gave me some more in like context again for Benedict to watch him not get picked a second season in a row.
So he'll, if there is another season, he'll be on it for sure, right?
Yeah, we at some point we should talk here because, if we get another season, it's tradition to bring people from the previous season back. Yes. It's happened a couple times now. So I would love to would they bring back new people that weren't on the previous season? Or are we getting Mercedes 3.0, Benedict 3.0?
Okay, we'll talk about that at the end. How about?
Okay, yeah, that's what I think I want to do at some point is draft who we think could come back.
I love that. Okay. Also, the other thing is in the entire mega date with Benedict, I feel like so much of it was spent with basically them arguing. They weren't having a great conversation. And so that gave me a pretty bad vibe, and also the fact that he can't be around her cat. I was it's never gonna work.
So it's wild because I have a cat. I have had a cat for 16 years, and I've had cats my entire life, but I've had my current cat as an adult myself for 16 years, and I dated a man for almost over 4 years. And he was allergic to cats, and he had to take allergy pills literally every time he came over. He has a cat now. I think, certain dander, he figures it out, but, that is pretty rough is if you have an allergy, to cats.
Well, and it also is
things you can do.
Yeah, if you're willing to take the allergy meds, right, I think is a very different story. It seemed like Benedict, he literally says, I don't care about the cat. The cat could kill me. I don't care about the cat. You're just fundamentally incompatible. If you're going to, Katie is...
She's a cat girl. She brought her cat with her.
Exactly. She's one of, you and I. Yes. Right?
Exactly.
And I think both of us can agree that... It wouldn't be necessarily a deal breaker if someone had a cat allergy, but they would have to be willing to suffer for it. Basically. And they
would I would want them to be around the cat and just be I'll figure it out. We'll get through this. But to what you said about how their conversation was going, I found that they were already at such a deficit, because basically from the moment that she finds out that he's actually an F boy, she really was so closed off to him. And only when she decides to ultimately cut Marco and make Benedict be in her final two, does she kind of start letting him talk to her again. It was a weird period there. And
it's if you've ever tried to break up with someone and they're no, don't do it, I could be better, I'll be different, blah blah blah. It was honestly a little triggering.
And no, for sure, also the fact that he straight up asked, he was what do I need to do to lock this in? I was what a weird thing to say, especially given the context of the show and that there is a chance that if she picks you, that you can take all of the money. What can I do to lock this in is such a weird thing to say.
That's not the right way to have that thought.
Benedict is someone who I think needs, most people, and definitely most men, therapy. Because I think he watching him be the nice guy in season two, and have Louise make the mind-boggling decision of picking Mercedes over him anyway, but I kind of also understand it. Watching Benedict and also seeing him go through this journey with Katie, I'm the pieces are there. He's hot. He's clearly smart. He's he's kind of funny. Sometimes he's not funny, but sometimes he's funny. But just the way that his vulnerable thing where he's kind of talking about how it's hard for him to talk about his feelings because his parents didn't really ever talk about their feelings. They didn't work out or whatever. And he's not really,
break the cycle, buddy.
Yeah. And it was he was just scratching the surface there. And I do really think that with some reflection and time and, internal work, that this is someone that could be a good partner to someone. But not there yet, because he has failed on two like points now to give the woman what she needs. And beyond the F-boy title, I feel like Katie was never getting the emotional side from him. And I also felt like that was like the same criticism that Louise had about him. Like, well, she was kind of like,
she wanted him to be more sexual.
Yeah. But
then, so it's like he took that lesson and was like, okay, I'll be more sexual with Katie. But he didn't take the time to think about like, what does Katie need?
Yeah. And also just, I felt like even on season two, he was like, he was emotional, but he wasn't like emotional about his own emotions, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Like he said nice things and he was sweet and he was caring and obviously all these things. But it was like, you can tell when people just are like, they're being a nice guy and putting it like doing what you need and like putting that emphasis on you. And it's like they haven't dealt with their own internal shit. And that's going to become an issue at some point. You know what I mean? And that's kind of what I feel like is Benedict's big problem here. And may I suggest therapy, sir? Clearly, there's stuff with your family you got to work on, my guy. It was hard to watch because I was like, I think he's a good person.
I think he's a good person. And I suggest he not look for love on TV the next time.
That is also an excellent, excellent recommendation. In most cases, I'd recommend that to anyone. But also, I want hot dummies to continue to do this so that this channel can thrive.
I know it's conflicting, you know, because I feel like I speak a lot about, you know, people should be getting therapy. They should not look for love on TV. They should not do whatever. But then I'm like, then it comes to like Temptation Island time and Maggie and I are like, we need more cheating.
Yeah, exactly. I did a whole season of coverage of Buddy Games in which Rob and I were like, wouldn't this be fun if people cheated on their spouses or we had divorcees? Like, here's the thing is like, we can look at these people and also be like, this is what I suggest to you to succeed in life.
Yeah, like as a person.
Also, I hope that there continues to be people that are still undeveloped in ways. Mostly emotionally and mentally
tortured on these shows. But then like once we know the people, we're like, okay, well, like don't get tortured anymore. Go take care of yourself.
Yeah, now go take care of yourself. You've learned. And some of them never will. But yeah. Benedict is someone like I never hated him. You know what I mean?
No.
I was rooting for Vince, even though I saw some flaws. I still was rooting for Katie and Vince, and Katie literally verbalizes what it is about Vince that kind of takes the edge over Benedict is that he is fully developed. He's a ready to go boyfriend. He, you know what I mean? Whereas
he's Benedict, no assembly required.
Exactly. Benedict is work. And this is not Katie's first rodeo. You know what I mean? Like this is like her fucking 10th time trying to find love on TV. I'm exaggerating, but like, I can see why she's kind of like, God, I don't really want to like have to train someone to like
no adult grown ass woman wants to have to train someone to be the perfect partner.
Yeah,
because and most like, of the time you put in that work and then they leave and go be a perfect partner to someone else who hasn't had to like see them struggle.
Yeah. Yeah. And extremely have been there many times. I think that, and obviously like no person is right. Like I'm obviously saying like, oh, Vince was ready to go. No, they would have had their own things that they would have had to work out as, but it's like when you can pinpoint that like this person is struggling to even express themselves emotionally or like let people in, like that's such a big thing that needs to get taken care of before that person can have a healthy relationship. And sometimes you're just like, I don't have it in me to be like somebody's training wheels right now, you know,
literally.
So I really do understand this, this decision from Katie, but, because that is ultimately what comes down to it. It's like Vince is right there. He's telling you everything you want to hear and he's going to be there for you. And Benedict is like a little bit, you don't know.
100%. Yeah, I agree completely. So I guess then should we talk about Hallie next?
Yeah.
So this Hallie goes on her date with Evander.
No, EJ. Evander's gone. the E name.
In my brain, I'm just like, Evander stayed because I felt like Evander should have stayed. And so I just like have rewritten history. So with EJ,
Evander would, for all intents and purposes, should have been the second choice for Hallie, because it would have been, it would have made it a little bit more bully. Like there would have been a little bit more intrigue, you know?
Yeah.
Because there was no,
I felt like there was nothing there on this date. Like I didn't, it was like, I feel like 2 minutes of the episode.
Yeah.
There was no chemistry. It just didn't feel like it was happening.
Here's the thing. I feel like EJ and Hallie are a couple that under normal circumstances, if they met in the real world and became friends, or here's another option, outside of this, after this show, I could see a situation where Hallie keeps in touch with EJ after her and Mercedes don't end up working out, because I'm pretty sure none of these fucking couples are together.
I've heard, but I haven't been able to substantiate that possibly Daniela and her pick are still together.
Oh, okay. Well, but I haven't been able to about him on her social media, at least at this time.
I know, but he doesn't have social media, remember? So maybe he doesn't want to be.
Put a picture of them together after. She didn't even do a post about the show. Anyway, well, I don't know. I literally just went to her grid. Maybe she did something on her stories. And maybe that doesn't mean anything, but I also read on Reddit that apparently none of them are together. I don't know.
Okay. Well, I believe Reddit. I did not do a full comment. So.
I did not do a full deep dive, but I think that there's a world where Hallie stays friends with some of the guys, and there could be a friends to like a slow burn kind of situation, because not every good relationship has to be fireworks, passion, chemistry from day one. Yeah. That's the whole reason why friends to lovers is like a romance trope. You know what I mean? Because it's a thing. It can happen. However, not a good thing when you're in a compressed time reality show and you're up against Mercedes, who is like Riz God, you know, for some people.
He really is. He's literally like, Riz God.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I just like I never believed the Mahali and EJ were only be together.
Yeah, I truly agree. Like, at least they kissed. I was like, had they ever kissed? Like, at least they had like a tongue kiss. I'd never seen them like actually really have any sort of like physical chemistry. But the only intrigue about EJ still being in it was, is Hallie going to do what she thinks is like the safest bet for her to get money? Even though I'd say picking Mercedes is almost the safer bet, because
he's done it before.
Split. You have something to go on, but it's just like, maybe like if you just think that all around EJ is just like a more stand up guy, and you can trust him as a person a little bit more. And there's definitely still a chance where Mercedes says, hey, I split the money last time, the relationship didn't work out, and I only got 15K or 50K out of it. This time, like, I have the opportunity to make the money, and I don't necessarily think that this relationship was going to work out. So why would I not get more money? Like, honestly, there's a chance he goes dark like that, you know?
Bring Mercedes back until he finally goes dark like that.
Yeah.
Because I like, do believe he'll keep winning every time.
And he's good TV. Like, trust me, I will happily watch another season of Mercedes calling people goofy. Like 100%.
I'm there. I'm seated.
Let him go. Like, let him go 3 for 3. I want to see it. but that's what I think was the only intrigue of EJ still being in the game, is that like maybe Hallie would be like, I just trust EJ more to split the money with me. And like there wasn't, but otherwise, in terms of like actual connection, absolutely not. But I will be seated if there is a situation where because you see people from these shows, they don't have showmances with these people on the shows. Like, and then they end up like getting together with someone else from the cast.
Victor and Nicole.
Exactly. And like, there've been people from like, Are You the One, that like didn't even pursue anything together in the house. And then they end up like together. They weren't each other's matches, like stuff like that. There's always these situations where like people like, you know, had an experience with someone on the show, it was not really romantic, and then like 6 months down the line in real life, it works out for them. It makes sense. Maybe they live closer together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you never know. But
I would be interested. But yeah, she picks Mercedes. Mercedes splits the money. EJ also would have split the money.
Yeah. We do a lot of the cute stuff where like they're trying to like make it sound like they might say that you thought wrong. Cause like Mercedes does like, you know, he's trying to give us good TV and I appreciate that. Cause he does his whole like, I told you I'm a nice guy and
you believe me. I'm glad you believe me
because I'm going to split the money. Like it was like, you know, he does the little buildup. We get the cut to commercial they tried to build some intrigue and Mercedes did his best, but it was also just kind of like, okay, we know.
Yeah, the second time is just like less surprising than the first time, right? It's like, we know you split the money. It's what you do.
But my question to you is, after seeing Mercedes do this twice, split the money, say a lot of the same stuff through both seasons,
mm-hmm.
do you think that he actually ever really intended to, like, do you think that he really saw himself, like, sticking with Hallie, or was he just like, I am going to do what I can to make 50K be a bad person?
He said she made him a simp and he's a nice guy now.
Yeah, true. He did.
But I mean, it didn't last. So
it didn't last. I don't know.
I want to know like how long it did last. Like that's the problem with these pre-taped shows, right? Because it happened over the summer. And so normally with these shows, when it's summertime, we're like, okay, well, is it going to last past American Thanksgiving? And that's kind of when you get a sense of like, is it real? Is it not real? So it's like, did they make it to Thanksgiving? Did they make it even close to Thanksgiving? Did they never talk again after they shot the finale? Like,
yeah,
I want to know.
I would like some
the timeline. Sort of. I'm nosy. Exactly. I want the details.
Me too. And that's why I wish they would do a freaking reunion.
I would love
show.
A reunion on this.
Because it's always, I always like to hear from people once they've seen the show air.
Mm-hmm.
And we never get that with a lot of shows now. And it sucks because I think that you can get real drama from that. Like, get updates on, like, did these people stay together? Like, can you imagine? Like, there are definitely situations where it's like, Christian and Daniela break up. And at the reunion, it's like, it comes up that like, Jared sent Daniela a dick pic or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like there's so many things that could be coming up, or like some random guy that got eliminated early on, like slid into some DMs or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, why are we not getting this? I just feel like it's easy. Mm-hmm. But maybe people just don't want to be,
I think that more likely the CW doesn't want to pay an appearance fee.
That's probably
that would be my guess. But I mean, HBO didn't do it either.
So no, they've never done it. I just think that more shows should, because
honestly, I don't want scripted shows. Give me a reunion of the actors to tell me about what it was like to film the season. I want it.
Of course, I want that. That sounds great. And I don't care so much that I need to be creeping on a million people's Instagrams and reading comments, and like, I'll do it if I'm hyper focused enough on it, but it's not a good use of my time. And I would much rather just watch a produced 1 hour. Please just do that. Mercedes, clearly he like wants to make good TV, but isn't like going to go full Jared and be like a despicable human, and still wants to be like, the F boy that, like, you know, isn't a terrible person and will split the money with you.
Yeah.
Because I just don't fully believe that he really, I don't know.
I think that they give the label nice guy versus F boy. Just like, do you want a relationship or are you still just having fun? And like,
fun and want money,
you can be a shitty person, but you're looking to get married and have kids. And you can be a great person, but you're just not ready to settle down. And so you're not committing to any one person. And like, maybe that results in some hurt feelings, but it doesn't make you a bad person. Mm-hmm. And I think that they try to portray it as like F-boy, shitty guy, nice guy, so good. And we see it yes. all the time that some of these quote unquote nice guys suck. And some of these F-boys are like the sweetest people we're seeing on the show. And it's just like people contain multitudes and mm-hmm. wanting to get married and have babies is not actually a metric of how good of a person you are.
100%. And that's maybe where I feel like, does the show's concept need like a little bit of like rethinking or tweaking? Because I mean, some of these people that are going in as like F-boys, like it could just simply be like, I am in, like, I feel a certain way that like I could take 100K.
Yeah.
But I might take, like, they just want to be in a situation that they could have the choice to have 100K, because you yeah. definitely aren't going to have that choice if you are, if you are a nice guy. So it's like, yeah. they just want to have the option, which is, listen, wanting to have options, very, very F-boy trait. So, I guess it makes sense, but it's like, it becomes such a like kiss of death for some of these people. When you see people like Benedict, you see people like yeah. EJ, like that, we're probably going to split the money with no matter what. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, so I don't know. I think that maybe they need to think a little bit about how like the branding works and like what that means. Or yes. maybe the leads, like the women, just need to keep that part in mind, being like, hey, I've watched 3 seasons of this play out now. Some of these nice guys are actually kind of D-bags.
Yeah.
So I need to not just like play so much into that too. And then that maybe makes it a little bit more exciting.
I agree. Okay. So then Daniela had her date with, her last date was with Christian. Yeah. Yes. She just yeah. spent all night up playing card games and gabbing with Jared. Jared may be an F-boy, but she like, no, she knows who he is inside.
Like, what? The other thing she says about him is she's like, I feel like he, like, I know what kind of person he is and he can be reformed. It's like, what a,
I genuinely think he needs to be institutionalized. Yeah, get him off the streets. I am so afraid of Jared.
Jared for House of Villains season 2 is like my biggest, mm-hmm. like this is true villain. This like, yeah, if you're going to take a villain from a love show, I'm sorry. This guy is psycho. Like,
the guy, what's his name on House of Villains season 1
Jake?
From Shake, like yeah. he like sucks as a person.
Yeah, he's a D-bag.
He's not evil.
No.
You know? Like Jared is straight up fucking evil. Like yeah. below the
he's
prison.
A sociopath.
He like, should not be in society. Like I'm so fearful. I yeah, never want to meet
the things
Jared.
He said. I was just like, this is wild. And yeah. that was why I asked like the questions of like, what are these, like, if you are coming on this show and saying all of this stuff with your chest, knowing it's being aired, like, what do you hope to get out of this for your life?
He wanted 100 grand and he could take some money.
I think it's just maybe that my brain cannot wrap itself around the idea of being so hell-bent on getting 100K that you, in the process, make yourself a despicable person to the greater public, to basically everyone, and, like, how that could impact your, like, life and opportunities going forward. Like, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think completely it's just agree so, with you.
Like, my brain cannot wrap itself, which is a good sign for me as a human.
Yes, but you do belong in society.
Thank you. I mean, there are days where I don't think so, just because, like, I need to be bubble wrapped.
But that's, you need to be protected from society, not the other way around, you know?
That's bars, actually. Protect me from society. Do not protect society from me.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just, like, that's just the wildest part to me, though, is that, like, He's just out here saying this stuff.
He's willing to throw it all away for $100,000 that will be taxed to shit. Like, that's not, like,
please be
put
a bit.
Your job
please
money.
Be a bit. Like, please, like, when the cameras get put down, being like, this is like,
no, at
I don't
the
know.
End, when he Ugh. Didn't get picked, if he had been like, yeah, I was going to take the money and I was playing such a big game of, oh, I am faking my connection. I don't even like you, but nah, it's all love. I just wanted some money and I hope you have like a good life. It's like, okay, like you're a little weird. It's a weird vibe, but at least it's not evil.
Yeah. He like, you could tell that all of the other guys that were there too were just like, fuck this guy.
Everyone was like, so taken aback. Everyone was like, huh?
And I can't remember. What? Did anyone like him? Like, I can't remember if he had friends.
I do think that he got a lot of really positive content at the mansplain. Oh, I don't think that they were like his friends. I think he just is a sociopath.
That's what I'm saying, is like he fooled these other guys too. Because
which means he had it turned on 24 hours a day. The only time he let his mask slip was in the confessionals.
That's impressive in a terrifying way. Because that's how a lot of these guys get like get revealed, is because like they can only hide it so much, and then they make like a dumb comment to like one of the guys, or like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like they let some walls down with some of the guys. They feel like, I think he's an F boy too. Like, let's kind of like, you know, whatever. This man was on, he was playing everybody, and that is scary. He's on some
absolutely different shit.
Yeah.
So scary. But speaking of not scary, Danielle and Christian have their date and they have like a really, it's so interesting because all Danielle's been saying is like, I need Christian to be more fun.
And then the exact same thought.
They had like the most serious date of all time, where Danielle expresses to Christian that she had previously with an ex been trying to have a baby, that she really sadly had a second trimester miscarriage, which is
that's rough,
some serious shit.
Yeah.
And that she will never give up. She wants to have a baby. She wants to have a family. And he's so supportive and so great to her. Like he, he
like, handles you're so it strong. You're perfect. So like, yeah.
But then she's like, he's there for me in all the ways I need. I'm like, you were going on and on about the fun, and then there's no fun. What do you mean?
It was so, that's why like I spent this whole show like not understanding what Daniela wants. Or what who she is. Like I left this being the most confused about like what she's looking for, because she said all this stuff like leading up, being like, I need to see him, like I need to see his playful side, I need to see his fun side. And then she acts like during this date where they have these really serious conversations, it's like very deep and emotional, and she's like, he's given, you know, he's said all of the things I've needed him to say. And like, I've been waiting for him to show this emotional side. I'm like, wait, hasn't he always been showing that side? And you've been asking for the other thing?
Yeah, like, I almost wonder if it's like the confessional, like if there's some Frankenbites going on.
Yeah, or that
like,
would make sense, maybe.
Because maybe earlier she wanted him to be fun and then he was fun. And then
they just have to like build the narrative.
I don't fucking know. It doesn't make any sense, but I'm so glad she picked him. I'm so glad she didn't pick Jared. I would have been so devastated for her if she had picked Jared after all of that.
I would too. I was bracing myself, but this is another complaint about how the show was edited, is that they took away any intrigue for me personally. Maybe if this is the first time watching the show, that might be different. But for me, all of the intrigue of what Daniela was going to do was lifted the moment I saw that she was picking first, because I was like, she has the one person that we know, if that one guaranteed person who's picking 100K. Yeah. And that is the most exciting decision, that like outcome. And if he does that, that is the person you leave for last.
Yes. No, she should have been last, period.
No matter what. I know.
It's that's ridiculous that they, but I guess Katie has like more fame and maybe that's why.
Yeah, like they kind of always left Kate, like they did it in that order every single time is the thing. But season two is fresh in my mind. Just watched it a couple days ago. They didn't do it that way with those women. They left Tamaris for last because they knew that she was going to do I'm keeping the money for myself. Yeah. So they didn't have to do it that way. They didn't have to do, well, we always start with Daniela and then we go to Hallie and then we go to Katie last, in terms of like the eliminations. Agreed. Or whatever. Like they didn't have to do it this way. Do or even if, yeah, like just do it in the order that gives the most excitement. And I just think that the moment I saw that she was going first, I was like, there's no way that she picked, like, we're going to get the reveal, obviously, but there's no way that she's picking Jared because.
Yes. 100%.
You leave that for the end.
And so she picks Christian. Yay. They're going to share the money. They're going to pursue things outside of here. And then Jared, and this is why, like, the cutesy shit that, like, Mercedes and EJ and Benedict do, like, it's like, it's not that cute because when someone's actually taking the money, they're just like, yeah, I was going to take the money. I've been faking my whole emotional connection to you. Bye. Like that, like, cause that's enough. You don't need like a mic drop moment because the whole thing is a mic drop.
The act of taking the money is the mic drop. You exactly. don't. Yeah. 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 I think the person that hates Jared the most is actually Nikki.
It might be me.
Well, okay. On the show, at least. The person in that frame when this all happened,
yes.
Nikki just fucking hates this man. Although she did start the night where she like was like, thank you for showing your chest tonight. Because he like had the open jacket.
He was the only one who had shown skin.
And I'm like, this is giving F boy. Like,
she said, really? Thank you for like doing the show, the name of the show credit.
Yeah, maybe you just fumbled the bag in the final moments by having the open chest, and then, but like,
I just think the minute Daniela opens up about her miscarriage and it's received so well, it's like, how do you choose someone else after that?
Yeah, that is like that is a you know because I have to assume that conversation did not come up with Jared, and I also can't imagine ever wanting. Being comfortable and being like, this is the kind of guy that wants that it will say what I need to hear when I tell him I had a second trimester miscarriage. But on the flip side, he is very good at selling and like he maybe could have made her feel that comfortable. I think that if she'd had that conversation already, we would have seen it. Unless it was like when cameras weren't rolling.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like unless what Jared said about it was like so bad. But I also don't think they would shield him. So I don't fucking know.
But I just think that like he is so and what truly makes him terrifying is that he is like I actually think that there because obviously each guy does their little plea before the pick. They do their little speech. And I actually think like what Jared said was like way better than what Christian said, but it's bad because I know that it's fake. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He was like, it was so psychotic. This man's like, I know my mom is going to love you. Like, I'm going to love your family too. Like, I can't like,
oh my God.
When you're like, oh, that's like so dirty. When you're like, oh my God, my mom is going to love you. Like you're like talking about like the family and like, stuff. I'm like, that's like, no. You're psycho, dude.
This is the shit though that so many dudes pull where it'll be like you spend Christmas together with his family and you are basically living together. And then they'll be like, oh, well, no, you were never my girlfriend.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, I had a relationship where I spent like, the family got me birthday and Christmas gifts. Like I was there for Christmas a couple times. And like this guy definitely cheated on me like many times. Like, you know what I mean? It's like they can do that stuff and also like not fully respect you.
There's people with fucking secret families, you know, like,
yeah, it's like, once again, green flag for me as a person, I cannot wrap my head around being like that.
No, I really can't.
Yeah, then that is Jared's energy. But like, I just thought that what he said to her sounded so much better than what Christian said. But because we know that it's fake, it's just like it doesn't hit the same. But I think that if you take that away, you don't have the knowledge we have. You're like, oh my God, like Jared loves this girl. And that's how good he is.
Yeah, he's I'm fucking terrified of him.
Yeah. Yeah. What is he doing now? I don't know.
I honestly don't. That's between him and God. It's not my business.
I'll tell you what he's not doing. He's definitely not one of the men getting therapy.
No, and he might need it more than anyone.
He doesn't think he would need it. Yeah, he's above it.
But honestly, probably good that he's not in therapy, because he'd probably be the one that's like,
oh, he would manipulate a therapist.
Tricking the fucking therapist.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Shit's so scary. This it is. Honestly, this is dark, so actually. Fucked up sometimes.
Yeah.
but yeah, so, you know, Danielle is literally like, fuck you, get off the stage now. And Nikki's literally like, FYFI, so fast when she says that. Like, yeah, get out of here. And I do think that that may be dicked. Like, maybe they were not going to show Danielle first in the edited product. But then when she made him leave, it was like, okay, now we have to make them leave right away.
I had that thought too. But then the way they do it, then they have the other ones standing up there. So it truly was first because the other, unless they like, I don't know.
No, it definitely happened first. I don't know how they would have edited it to make it seem like it didn't. But
exactly. So, so maybe if it had gone differently. So you're saying if it had gone differently and they could have edited it to go last, then maybe they would.
Like, have. Maybe they would have. I don't know, though. I don't trust them, because why did they make it not happen last, just period?
Yeah. Because that's why, like, with season two, that's why, you know, Tamaris going last was, for me, obvious what she was going to do, because I understood what was happening. And I was like, well, none of the women have picked 100K yet. Someone's going to, otherwise, why did we get this given to us as an option? Mm-hmm. She just, the fact that they put her last was obvious to me, because I was like, her decision is the least interesting, because Tamaris had two nice guys when in season two. So it's like, I think that, I don't know, maybe I'm overthinking it, but I'm just like, you put the most, like,
what you just have your production hat on, because you've watched so many of these fucking shows.
That's true.
Honestly, we should be hired as consultants.
I agree. Because I just think, like, no brainer, you leave the one that has the potential for the biggest moment last, whether they get picked or not. Because it's like, Even if you know ahead of time that Danielle is going to be picking Christian instead of Jared, you still leave her for last, because you know the moment of everyone being like, fuck this guy, he's psychotic, and him being like, yeah, I played you, I didn't even like you, da, da, da. Like, that's still like the biggest moment of the finale.
And I'm still honestly genuinely shocked that he even said that to her face. Like, I thought that he was being wild in confessionals. I thought maybe, you know, he doesn't really like her, but maybe like production's really getting to him and they're getting what they need out of him.
And he's playing it up a little
bit. And he's playing it up because he's getting a reaction.
Yeah.
For him to say straight to her face, yeah, I don't like you, I was faking the connection, I was going to take the money, bye. Like, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how you know he's truly
evil.
Dark-sided.
Evil. He's so evil. He's
soulless. But yeah, I'm harping on the way that they put it together. At least we got that moment, because none of these decisions were that exciting, you know? No. Like, it felt a little pretty easy to put together, but
a little anticlimactic, but still a good season, I would say. Still some good personalities.
Yeah, I think the cast was good. Like, I think the leads were good. Mm-hmm. I liked them all.
So
I was invested enough.
Bring back
who for the men?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. God. And I don't really remember even their names. Even though I'm trying to remember some of the,
I think it would be cute if that fucking Jonathan guy came back and like had some game, if it wasn't so hard to be him.
Yeah. Maybe it's like he learned, like, you know, it was like,
oh, he learned how to be an F-boy from all the people on this season.
So like the decisions on who they chose to bring back from season two,
they were all finalists.
They were all finalists. So if you're going to use that, like, do you bring the twins back together? Like, do you like the fact that you can do twins again?
Honestly, yes.
Like, I wouldn't hate that. I also don't hate the idea of Mercedes and Marquise coming back. Marquise got kind of screwed. And he's like, yeah. I would love to see him fumble over his words and continue to tell people about how many eggs are in their baskets. And yeah. using like 80%, 20%.
Yeah.
Like,
I got good vibes from Marquise.
I liked him too. I like him. I'd be more attracted to him than Mercedes personally.
Yeah. So I would like to see Marquise come back. That's a great shout.
Yeah.
And Mercedes, yeah, Mercedes, make it a three-peat. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Put Mercedes and Benedict.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, as he's saying, he's the best to play the game. He's undefeated.
Yeah, prove it. Win again. Keep bringing Mercedes back until he either gets married or steals the money.
Yeah. And like with the third appearance, you could be doing a lot of like teaser stuff where it's like, third time's the charm. I'm gonna get the most paid this time. Like, you just wait. Like it would be such a fun story where he's like, listen, I played nice both times. The relationship didn't work out. If I feel the way I felt at the end again, I'm just gonna save myself the grief and get that money. Like, I don't know. Maybe we're never gonna get that from him if that truly isn't what he wants to do. But I'm like, You could at least give us the like thought that it could maybe happen. There's enough intrigue there. And also, he's great TV. He's going to be getting in fights with people and calling them goofy. And I want that. And I just didn't get enough of his dynamic with his brother. And I thought Marquise on his own was entertaining. So I think that's like an obvious, like, bring back the two sets of brothers, right?
Oh, yeah. If they just brought back both sets of brothers, that'd be very fun.
Cause that's fun. And also cause they had animosity against each other because like, it was like, this is how you treat your brother. Like, da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. Like, this is how you, like, I would love to see some more of that drama. Like kind of, although Mercedes and Benedict were against each other in season two. And Mercedes throughout this finale talks about how much better Benedict is than Vince and how hot Benedict is.
Yeah. But I mean,
they're clearly friends now.
There's just also some other biases happening there as well.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, like, everyone spent this entire, season really, saying messed up stuff about Vince and really just, like, not respecting him.
Well, I feel like on the show, Vince, cute, not hot. And that's okay. Not everyone's hot. Some people are cute. Vince on Instagram is, kind of hot.
No, and also it's, like, I hot isn't necessarily just strictly.
It's not about appearance. Thing. It's about the way you carry yourself. It's about what you're wearing. It's a whole thing.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. And like, and that's the thing is like, I don't even know that I would necessarily even call Benedict hot.
No, I would call Benedict's body hot.
Like, yes, that's a thing. But there's almost like, it's kind of like disjointed because like,
he's kind of like goofy.
Yes, exactly. Like he's like, it's an interesting comparison because he has like the body of like a hot douchebag. But then his personality and like his like facial expressions and stuff like that, like kind of like counter it in a way. And he has like this, like a little bit of like golden retriever energy at times. So it's like, I don't know. It's interesting. But yeah, I agree. Sometimes people, it pops in different ways, whether it's a video or film and in person. Some people, they just have, I don't know if it's pheromones or what, like, you know what I mean? Just in person, like some people have.
Oh my God. Like, it's like Liana, who's like the hottest person I've ever met in person. And like, she's obviously beautiful in video and on social media too, but it's another level.
It's just like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just something there. There's just some people you're like, oh yeah, you are you are a goddess.
Literally.
We all knew, but it's way more apparent in person.
Yeah, exactly.
I wonder what that's like. I would love to know.
I think that you're so beautiful.
Oh.
Like, I do. And, like, I think I look better in person than I do on video or in pictures. But, like, there's just, like, that. There's something special about some people.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's, like, I think that in a lot of cases, like, people look better in person. But there's something like it's like an energy thing. Like, I don't even know how to describe it. Just how people carry themselves or like whatever it is. And yeah, some people just have that juice. And it's impressive. So I don't know. I don't know which of these people have the juice, but
I want to know.
Because I just, like, aside from these people, like, I don't even know who else you would. I mean, do you bring back Vince again? Because I don't think Vince and Katie are together.
No, they're not. They are not together. Which you can tell by Katie's post, where she's like, and to my winner, Vince. And it's,
yeah, like, I'm so
okay,
glad.
Okay, well, that's not what you would say. And you would post, like pictures of them, like, kissing or whatever.
And it, like, it looks like Vince just, like, bought a house or something like that. And it's, like, it's his house. Which, I mean, it's not to say that, like, they would have to have bought a house together or anything like that. But it's just, like, there's just been, like, context clues. From what I've read, it sounds like maybe they dated for a little bit after, like they definitely gave it the old college try, and it just
didn't work out. And I mean, that's how it is sometimes. Sometimes in life, things don't work out, and it's okay.
Here's the thing: are there any F-Boy Island couples that have ever stayed together?
I don't think so.
I mean, we don't have a big enough sample, but I just think, like, maybe, I don't know. The thing,
not is, in US shows, anyways, maybe in the other.
The ironic thing about reality TV and love is that the shows that are meant to find love, produce relationships, are usually the least successful at actually producing couples. Yes. And you're more likely to have people that met on Survivor and Big Brother that were not about finding love, and those end up being the people that get married and have like 800 kids. So
many kids.
That's why they're hot dummies on islands. You know what I mean? It's like, this is they're not ready.
Yeah. And it's okay. They're not ready. They'll be ready one day.
Yeah.
But yeah. So that's it. That's the season of F-Boy Island.
Mm-hmm. There's like one thing I caught on the finale.
Oh, tell me.
Tickled me. It's like stupid. Did you notice that, like, during the final dates, like when they would go to that like sofa that's outside and have like their serious talks, there was like a little like caption that would come up that said "Mega Date Love Seat."
Like, no, I didn't.
Like, it has a name. It's the Mega Date Love Seat.
No, I don't like that.
What the hell?
Do they all have to take turns? Like, they're all on their Mega Dates at the, like, same time. Are they waiting in line for their time on the Mega Date Love Seat?
Like, oh, let's take this to the Mega Date Love Seat.
Oh, this is a pretty good conversation. Yeah, let us retire to the Mega Date Love Seat.
Can you imagine, like, the producers?
Sponsored by Jose, like, Cuervo.
Yes, of course. The Mega Love Seat was furnished by Jose Cuervo. But imagine, like, producers, like, being like, okay, Katie and Benedict, I'd actually love if we could get, like, a conversation between the two of you over here on the Mega Date Love Seat. And also, they were making them, like, out of nowhere, all of the women would only refer to where they were staying as casita.
Like, yes,
that came out of nowhere. They're just like, they're like, okay, I'm sorry, you can't.
That, like, is what Daniela called it when CJ came over. And remember, we were trying to remember, like, there's a very specific word they were using.
Yes.
We couldn't remember.
Yes. Casita. But then we never heard casita ever again. And it was like, I could tell that they were told to call it that. You know what I mean? Because, like, they kept on being like, yeah, this is the casita. Do you want to come back to my casita? I was just like,
yeah,
this is like, it almost felt like it was product placement. I was like, you just keep saying this word. And then Benedict did say the one funny thing where he was like, yeah, I don't even know what a casita is. Like, sure, let's check her out.
I think that they should be having the women stay in more whimsical locations. I want to hear about more people like Hannah Brown fucking in a windmill, you know?
Yeah.
Like, put them somewhere more special.
We need more windmills is, like, I don't know where the windmills are on the island, but.
Yeah, I guess maybe that's not present in the, like, resort where they're filming this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they can go somewhere where there is windmills or other structures that.
Just others. It doesn't have to be a windmill. Just, like, something more whimsical.
It's like in The Sims 4 when you have certain locations you can woohoo, you know? And, like, it's exciting when the game gets a new place to woohoo. We need more woohoo bushes in these Not but bushes. Whimsical.
Whimsical. Oh my God. That's so
not
troubling.
The bush. not the bush. Same bush that you can also pee in The Sims 4. You don't want to be hooking up in a pee bush.
And that goes for life too.
Just
not
in general.
Just in The Sims.
If you hook up in a pee bush, you're gonna have a bad time.
Okay, we've officially there gone too far. It's over. We're done. Thank you for listening to our FBoy Island season 3 coverage. This has been so much fun. Hope we get a season 4 so we can get more of me and Jenny. But you know what? Maybe we'll find a different Hot Dummies on Island show that will work for us because. You know, we did Real Love Boat with Rob and us. We've now done 2 out of 3 seasons of FBoy Island. Like,
I think we deserve something. So if it's not, although what's happening with F-Girl Island? I thought that was supposed to be a thing. Is that going to happen?
I mean,
did it get dropped?
Let's do a little
we need to look into it because if that happens.
Oh, that's obviously. That's an easy thing.
Yeah, like.
It premieres in 2024, baby.
Okay. On what?
I'm looking.
Okay, sorry. I'm just excited.
Wait, I don't understand. It said 2024, and then there was a footnote thing, and I clicked the footnote. Okay, wait. It was the first footnote.
F-Girl Island premiere. This is everyone's
the
favorite.
Fall, okay, we're going
on CW.
It's going to be on the CW.
Okay.
And FBoy Island happened and that for the fall, but give me the winter mid-season. Schedule.
Okay, well this article I found, which was from May of this year, said that F-Girl Island would start mid-season, like during FBoy Island, which did not happen. So hopefully it's just pushed back a little bit because I don't know why they would start airing it in the middle of the other one. That would be weird. But it sounds like they've filmed it, right? So
it seems like it's happened. Okay. And so we're just waiting to get the information.
If anyone has inside info, let us know. Leave it in a review or tag us on social media or something because we want to know so that we can prepare for this.
Yes, because we need to cover it.
Yes. Exactly. I hope it happens.
Me too. And so is there anything else we need to say before we head out?
Just that this was fun and I appreciate everyone that listened and I appreciate everyone's patience. You know, we made the season happen, but I feel like it was a chaotic like period of life for both of us. Lots of busy stuff happening. But I'm very much glad that we were able to make this happen. And honestly, I'm sad that we didn't do season 2 after watching it. I have FOMO of it. So,
agreed.
I mean, there's no point in covering it. We've basically covered it by talking about it here. But
like, maybe.
But also, like, if they really screw us and we got nothing else to talk about, we could do a rewatch of it and talk about it.
Rob, we're doing a rewatch of FBoy Island season 2 and we don't care what you
the
have
people
to say.
Want it. But preferably I would just like more new seasons. I would prefer that. But yeah. No, it's been good. It's been great. I just hope that they find a little bit more of the spice. Get some of that spice back from the HBO Max version. Obviously, you can't be saying fuck every other word on CW, but
yeah, you can't even say benedictmatized.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah. Oh, it's been good.
Amazing. Well, thank you everyone for listening. And if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a 5-star rating and review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review. We'd love to get to those 365, one for every day of the year when it's not a leap year. And Jenny, if people want to hear more from you, where can they find you?
You can find me on social media at Jenny Autumn. As I have already mentioned, I am recovering from COVID, but I see the light. I'm getting better. So a lot of my podcasts are a little bit behind. Chappelle and I were away in New Orleans last week. Had a great time. And so we are doing a combined episode to catch up on last week's House of Villains, along with the one just from a couple of days ago. We will be recording that over the weekend, so that should be coming soon. Thank you for patience on that one. So check that out on the Hit or Quit podcast feed. Other than that, I believe I'm also going to be appearing on the B&B, which we'll be recording over the weekend as well. So check that out as well with Phil and Mike and Liana. It'll be a good time. And I might, you know, if I'm feeling good enough and the feeling's right, everything, the stars align, I will hopefully be able to pop in for some Big Brother Reindeer Games coverage. Ooh. On RHAP. That has been surprisingly delightful. But anything I'm doing, you'll find out if you follow me at Jenny Autumn.
Love it. And if you want to hear more from me, check out Mess Magnets every week with Sasha Joseph. I will be on the Big Brother Reindeer Games podcast on Monday over on RHAP. And on Tuesday on the Free Agents podcast, I'll be covering Reindeer Games. So big week for me podcasting Reindeer Games.
Yeah.
And you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What. Jenny and I will return the next time an appropriate Hot Dummy show comes for us. And the Hot Dummies on Islands feed will come back when there's another show. So yeah. Until next time, bye.
Bye.